Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. Good morning. Welcome to the show, the Neil and Christine for Psychic Hour. Today is Friday, and it's the week of our 8th anniversary. 8 years on the radio together.
It hardly seems like that much time has gone by, but it's quite a while to be on the show. And we've done tens of thousands of readings, I would assume, close to that, tens of thousands, over those 8 years. And so here we are starting what? We've been on 8 years, so we're starting.
So we're going into our ninth year.
So we're going into 8+ months, years on the show. And I think it's fine from, we take callers and answer their individual questions, but whenever we are in the between callers, we have a chance to talk and educate and things like that. I think the topics we cover, there's really no end to them. The third eye, crossing over, the astral realm, how energy works, chakras, all of these things, there's just no end to the discussion. And what we try to do is, we try to give a basic premise for these things, but of course people can go online and read about them or read books. Our approach is also to give our personal experience being psychics in this realm and how it comes about and how one really connects to one's third eye, because no third eye is really the same. The third eye each has their own psychic print. And that is because the third eye is composed of a person's history. And there's no one on the planet that's going to have an identical history with somebody else over all the past lives they've had. It's impossible. It's not going to happen. So the third eye is imprinted with a uniqueness to that person. Now, there may be similar things that go on. In fact, two people's third eyes may merge together because of a particular past life.
Right, but in addition, aside from the personal experience that someone has that gives the third eye a uniqueness, if the third eye is accurate, then it will be able to perceive uniformly with others that are psychic. I mean, not every psychic is going to pick up the same information, but if your third eye is in working order, then there's going to be accuracy that will be consistent with others' accuracy in terms of predicting future events, in terms of picking up past events in a person's life. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yes. That comparison, and indeed, third eyes can in one particular lifetime start to merge together and build their own new history on top of an old history. And that can be quite exciting, because when a couple, whoever they may be, merge their third eyes together, it's the same theory as being like you merge your flesh together. You become like one. You complete yourself in that regard. And, assuming that you each have your autonomy. But when it comes to the third eye, when two people merge their third eyes together, the third eyes open up a different energy field that is similar, identical, to the point to where soulmates are on common energy grounds regarding the third eye, all the way up to the apex of being twin souls in that regard of merging the third eye. Now, in any particular lifetime, there can be a direct limit to what two third eyes can do. Some two third eyes can only go so far.
Right, but that's
going to
be.
And then others can expand into, all kinds of possibilities.
So if you're talking about soulmates, there may be more limitation than a twin soul couple has in merging the third eye and expanding upon it.
Yeah. The equations are interesting because let's say two people have merged their third eyes together and they're soulmates and their third eyes have merged together in the lifetime. And then one dies in his 50s and the other goes on to live into their 80s. There's something wrong in that picture in terms of the uniformity
of the
what that union should have been.
Meaning there should have been their lifespan should have been more consistent
together. So what it means is that in spite of the fact that they've merged into a common third eye energy, one individual may have an extension of energy that they have to complete before they leave, in contrast to the other human being who was ready to leave at a certain date. So it gets a little crazy, and there's probably thousands and thousands of people out there who say my soulmate has crossed over. And that was 20 years ago, 30 years ago, 10 years ago. And maybe they remarried. But in their heart and mind, no one's ever replaced their soulmate. But you see, the third eye is so vast, and its requirements are so severe that we can't sometimes trick the universe into saying, well, here's my soulmate. Now everything will be perfect and we'll die together side by side in our sleep. Unfortunately, karma doesn't allow for that unless the conditions are right for it and the past lives have all been worked out.
But typically in that arrangement, it will be a twin soul union because soulmates are not going to have the same karmic arrangement that a twin soul couple will have. And if that union is fulfilled, then the twin souls will cross together.
In most cases. There's discrepancies.
And just because a couple crosses together doesn't necessarily mean they're twin souls. But it is significant, I think, when a couple does. You hear those stories of couples dying 30 minutes, within 30 minutes to, 2 hours from each other. You know, one dies and then 2 hours later another dies. That they were together 50 years, that kind of thing.
Yeah. And that's the same thing as saying, how do you separate soulmates that are deep, intense soulmates from actual twin souls? People may claim to be twin souls, and maybe they are. I'm not saying they aren't. But the actual definition of twin souls goes a lot deeper in terms of the construction of what a twin soul is.
Well, and then
soulmates,
you have to get into
going
the...
to be in a different category, but the intensity of a soulmate can feel very much like a twin soul. it can have the same kind of intensity. Twin souls come in with a higher degree of obligation to the planet. They're just not twin souls in their own intimate world.
There has to be a sacrifice and service, and actually being a twin soul requires great responsibility to the other person in the twin soul.
Yeah, because what are you looking at? I mean, when you look at all the chakra systems between two people, and you're going to talk about being soulmates and twin souls, you have to make sure that your chakra systems are aligned together. Your first, second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh. And when you get to the seventh chakra, that means that two people, being twin souls, are virtually on the same page of doing the highest work that you could possibly do on the planet. It doesn't mean that one is a librarian and the other one is an electrician. Those can be soulmates. But when you get into the category of the high aspect of the seventh chakra.
Like one's, for example, just as an example of twin souls, like one's a stripper and the other's a bartender.
Yeah. When you're interpreting things on the first chakra level, you're absolutely
that's
right.
That's the seventh chakra level.
You're down in the
second,
basement.
Second chakra level.
Yeah.
No, I'm sorry.
Well,
I was joking. You didn't know. You were like perplexed.
Well, I mean, no, that isn't really a high office.
Not that there's anything wrong with doing those careers, but it's funny because people will claim to be twin souls and they're like not doing the highest work, and so that is really one of the requirements of being a twin soul.
When you get into your personal world and you claim to have found your twin soul and you're in this personal world and you clearly claim this is my twin soul, I know it, and you're conducting the evaluation in a very personal way, that's not to be argued. But the attitude of what a true twin soul is different. It's just a different energy. It's like our current president in office he wants to be king. He would love to be king and proclaim his reign as a kingdom. That doesn't mean he's a king, but yet he holds the highest office in the nation. And that is an actuality. So when we say that we claim to be of the highest energy, and we're not saying that we're any better than anybody else. We're just talking about definitions. The actual claim to be an entity that acquires such as a twin soul connection, there has to be some constitutes and clear concrete evidence that you're doing the highest work on the planet that you could possibly be doing.
Right, and that's
not just a personalized world you're in.
That's just in the world of action. And before I get to another point, I just want to say something about that. So yes, in a twin soul union, you are doing higher work for the benefit of others. So oftentimes you have to make sacrifices of your own ego goals in order to do that work. However, the as I was saying earlier, the commitment to the other person is so intense. And, you know, there are so many people that say, well, this is my twin soul, but there is no way that those people would do the type of make the type of sacrifices that it requires to be in a twin soul union. I mean, you have a great responsibility to that other person. I mean, even aside from what you're doing for the planet, it is a great responsibility to the other person that people don't understand the the closeness of that union. And
well, you see what it happens in the twin soul union. What one person does
affects the other person.
It becomes the other person's energy as well. You can't. You know, if one person's, if they're two twin, yeah, but the person they tend to be twin souls, and one has a cocaine addiction, that means the other person's going to have it. You can't have your cake and eat it too. If you're twin souls,
I've never understood that one.
Have your cake
and eat it.
And eat it
well,
too.
What would you going to do with a cake? Look at it. I mean, it's such a stupid expression, but anyway, I go back to your point.
Well,
what it means
is you can't have an absolute sovereignty. You can't have
sovereignty
over any one thing. You're not.
I understand. I get what it means.
It's not an absolute condition.
So
that would be like saying, well, I have a house. I own a house on the block, so therefore, I want all the homes on the block. You know, I make more money than everybody else. I'll just buy everybody else out. I want to own the block.
Well, you
I mean,
can only look at this cake.
Yeah.
That's sitting in front of you.
Yeah.
Don't eat it.
Yeah. And so the attitude of the responsibility you're speaking of, Kristen, is really gets intense because, yes, what one person does will become the energy of the other person.
Right, and it even goes further than that. I mean, with the twin soul union, you don't go off and have a girls' weekend or, you know, go gambling with the guys and it separate like that. It's like
you're trying to claim to be a twin soul and it's broken the union. No. The union, you know, you're making a sacrifice.
It is a big sacrifice.
People say, oh, you two are inseparable. Well, yeah, guess what? If you're living for a common energy, twin souls are inseparable. They work constantly together, and their attitude and mind is on a higher plane. They're not concerned with the affairs of what otherwise would be a pleasurable, reasonable existence on the planet. They're not concerned about that. They're concerned about doing one thing, one high goal together, living and breathing that 24/7, and knowing that this earth will pass,
right.
Their lives will pass.
Which means that oftentimes the twin souls will go unrecognized on the planet. I mean, it doesn't mean that the twin soul couple is going to be elevated on any physical realm. The rewards for a twin soul couple are not on the planet. I mean, sometimes, yes, they'll have the fortune of maybe getting some earthly pleasures or rewards for their work, but that's not the end goal.
Well, there's a passage that states that God sees what we do in the closet. God recognizes our acts that go unnoticed.
I see what you do in the closet too.
Yeah, coming out of the closet, a whole different story. but the idea that what is really important is that two individuals resign themselves to the earthly conversation and go to a spiritual place and not just provide their own security within that space, but they make it a worldly cause or a other person cause, and they go into a high energy. Short of that, you can have beautiful designs with soulmates. Soulmates can do beautiful things together and have rapture in their feelings.
Yeah, and there are a lot of soulmates that are very closely entwined and work together. They do all kinds of different careers, build businesses, but it doesn't necessarily reach the level of a twin soul relationship.
Yeah. That's why it's categorized as such a special term.
But the thing is, so another another hallmark of twin soul relationships, and we're not going to get into the details about it, but the numeral, there are many different aspects of the combined numerical codes that will indicate a twin soul union. And that's something that's never been talked about.
Not really.
Never been talked about. And people claiming to be twin souls say, well, we're twin souls, but they have no concept of numerology, number systems. And there's, you know, someone with a trained eye can look at the codes and immediately say, no, this is not a twin soul union.
Well, that's the whole purpose behind numerology, is that you're looking at the birth date. And numerology is significant to birth dates. You can apply it to anything, but it's significant to birth dates as a code. So as long as you're seeking out the definition of a birth date as a code, it goes into great depth.
But, I'm just saying
that we've on the, this topic alone, we've written well over 1,000 pages.
Well, we're about probably at 1,500, I would say. Probably
1,500
pages in book form.
Well, of course, it'll be condensed, but in gathering all of the notes together, that we hope will always be available aside from the book form. The details of this are immense. So, and this has already been a task that has involved what? 5 years?
I think we started in 2000. I can't remember if it was 14 or 15. Oh, God. It's been a long time.
So it's been at least 5 years.
God, I hope we're able to finish it.
And this is basically an everyday work ethic we have going through this. Can you imagine every day? We don't take days off, really.
Well,
we don't
we have less days off now than we had four, 3 years ago, that's for sure.
Well
now with everything that's going on in the world, I mean, it's like really hard to have a day off and enjoy.
Yeah.
But back to the code. So the codes are very intricate when we're classifying two individuals as twin souls. Very intricate. However, there is a way to determine whether a couple are twin souls. That is, if you know the secret, then it's, you look at a birth date or two birth dates together, and you can immediately either dispel the idea that the two are twin souls, or then start to consider that the two may be twin souls, and then get into a deeper analysis of the codes. But there is one thing that will be there if the master numbers aren't the same.
Yeah. It becomes very mysterious when you're dealing with the birthday codes, and you start to examine when you punch in twin soul energy and then you revisit the numbers, very mysterious things start to occur. And the deeper you go, I mean, with all my knowledge, in 5 years, we're still examining our codes and looking at intricate things that are going on. And it isn't that you're just manipulating numbers until you find bingo, there's a connection. It comes with a sense of advanced interpretation. It's like a layman reading a medical chart as opposed to a doctor reading a medical chart. A layman reading it,
or like
with
a
some
lab,
sense of what,
lab,
you know, they
report.
Read in a book how to read a medical chart, and they're trying to read it and analyze it, as opposed to an expert doctor or physician in a specialized, categorized theme of medicine, looking at something and analyzing and trying to find a cure for something to save somebody's life. The energies of a third eye also wave, meaning that the energies that we have as human beings can alter the numbers on our birth date to various degrees. So whatever our numbers are in our birth date, they do have a variance of energy degree intensity according to your lifestyle. So you can affect the numbers in your birth date. They're living numbers. They're living codes. They're living behaviors. They represent these things. So if your behavior on the planet is such that it affects one of the numbers in your birth date, that number transforms. It changes in its intensity. Some, yes, they're locked in place. But the variance of their energies is like the keys on a piano are locked on the piano. But how they're played at any given moment, if you hit a key while you're coughing, or if you play, sit down and play when you're angry, you're pounding, or you have a light, you have to interpret it. And the energy of anything that we do in life is a matter of interpretation.
Well, yeah, give five pianists the same piece, and you're going to have very different, very different product.
Yeah.
Definitely.
I've heard The Rite of Spring by Stravinsky played so many different ways that I'm still impressed.
Oh yeah,
with the
and
way
there are people that
Stravinsky did.
There are people that debate, you know, him conducting it versus others conducting it, whether it was better when others conducted, and you know, of course, it's his work.
Right.
So it's interesting.
Right.
Actually,
I've also, you know, people who read their works in their own novel, and then they have an actor do it, and man, there's a big difference in the inflection and tone and emphasis. So it's the same thing with a birth date. So when you look at two people who have the same birth date, oh, they have the same birth date. They're the same. It's the same energy, the same read. No, it is not the same read. Just as any one piece is not the same version in its recording, because everybody has their own. We had somebody that was going to plaster the house. And I said, well, just go over that part because it's not matching the other parts. And the guy said, well, you can't, because everybody who applies that, what is stucco or whatever
stucco.
It is, they have their own hand movement. And you're never going to get the same.
You're not going to get the same pattern.
Look, it could get worse. It could be more contrasting. So, you know, and there are people who can replicate. When you have experts that, when you have a Monet or a Van Gogh or something, and then you have a person who impersonates or mimics or copies their painting, the experts can tell. These fine experts can tell what is a replica and what is authentic. The same thing in a birth date. You can tell the intensity of a birth date just as much as you can tell what the severity or intensity of a note is, or the tone and a color of a paint. It's very subtle, but it's there. When you get into the third eye, and you're going to join your third eye with somebody, and you really want to have a union, you've got to work through, each person has to work through their own crisis, their own habits, their own likes and dislikes, so that nothing gets in the way. Because if you're going to have a severe union and one loves chocolate and the other one doesn't, that becomes an energy of contrast. It doesn't mean that it ruins the union, but it means that there's now a division. And it doesn't mean that two people have to be uniform to maintain and establish a twin union. But as soon as there's a division, you have a stop sign.
Yeah, we have a division. You drink, knock all your. God, who is that?
This is
feeling
like
it's
a
like
telethon.
The same.
The phones are calling. The donations are coming in.
The phones are ringing, but the donations are not.
Except
not coming
when we
in.
Pick
I know
up
that.
The phone. The caller says, "You owe
you
us $10 for that show.
Right.
You wasted my life."
No, I was just talking about our division, which is like the milk thing. You grew up drinking milk, and I hate milk.
Yeah.
That's a division.
That's a division.
It is a division.
Now, if it becomes a division of that is contested, that becomes a problem.
I hate milk. Ugh.
See?
Yuck.
But now it become now, but now it has to be corrected to such a way that even though you hate milk, you have to merge it into the acceptance of the union. And if you don't do that, then you start to build a division. And it gets intense and intense and intense. Now you don't have to both, oh my God, we're twin souls. I've got to love coconut now. No, but if you
and you don't like coconut,
I don't like coconut.
Do.
And if you dislike something, okay, so you dislike it, you can't have it. Maybe you're allergic, whatever it may be. But you've got to now change your attitude about it.
Well, and obviously these are very minor divisions that I'm bringing up that don't cause any disruption within our union, at least. They're not even important.
No,
really.
Only to explain
right.
that if you're going to have a division, make sure that the opposing division has been blended into an acceptance, so that when you look at one person, you don't find something obnoxious going on, an attitude that contrasts with the other person. So if you don't like coconut and the other person does, you say, coconut is a good food. My partner loves it. I'm happy my partner loves it. You know, you just say it's good. It's good for our union.
And you do
like that instead of saying, well, I hate coconut. I don't like coconut. You see, it's the energy of the attitude.
And we do these coconut milk mantras regularly.
Yeah.
Actually, there's a couple people in the queue, but they are not raising their hand. So 519, I'm assuming, is just listening. 201, I think, probably wants a reading. Could you press 1 to let us know? 201, I know who this is. 201, do you want a reading or are you just listening?
Can they even hear us?
I don't know.
Oh, boy.
Oh wait. I brought the wrong person on. 201 has now pressed 1. And I.
Hi, Neil. Hi, Kristen. Yeah. How are you?
Hi, Jackie.
I was just listening at one point. I'm okay. I'm nursing a recuperating from eye surgery.
Oh, no. 1565, right?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. She's at 27.9. What happened to your eye?
I had a hemorrhage in my eye.
Oh my God.
And lost my vision for like a whole month and a half. So now it's slowly coming back in.
Oh my God, but that's so scary.
Yeah, one eye.
I'm sorry, one eye?
Yeah, one eye. One eye. Yeah.
Oh.
So how
left or your right?
My right eye. Right at the end of June.
How was it cured? What did they do?
They did a vitrectomy where they had to go in and take out all the fluid and the blood, and now I'm starting to see things again, but it's, you know, my focus is not there, and it makes you nauseous and dizzy. So.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry. Well, and you're off, obviously, for the summer.
Yeah, and we're supposed to go back remotely, but I'm supposed to be getting disability the first couple of weeks.
Yeah.
I just want to see how everything is going to, like, transition back in when I go back to work.
So you're...
I didn't lose my job, and I'm glad I didn't because of COVID.
Yeah. Because she wanted to get out of teaching. She's been wanting to get out of teaching.
I wanted to get out of the place where I was and slowly transition.
You wanted to do corporate, like corporate training and things like that.
My own thing.
Yeah. So different teaching still, but different.
She's 25. 55.
She's 25. Jackie, you're 25 years old. Surprised.
55. You see, Jackie, in your number system... And when we just look at your number system where there could be problems, your 1 and your 5 add up to a 6. which now involves your next number in your year, and now we're in the vicinity of your eyes and your body, the sixth chakra. Then it reduces back to a five again, dropping one. So that one and that five is a replica of your original numbers in the month and day, one and five.
But she also has 55 in her five in the day and five in the year. Yeah.
But so that's, we don't have time to explain it, but that's where the code of the problem is. And you also have a difficulty because your master number is nine and all your linear numbers are far less than nine. What you have to your advantage is your master number. Nine is endurance, perseverance, and it constantly gets back on its feet. So when we look at the nine, and we look at your age, and we look at your code, and we address your question, are you going to get disability? The theory is yes. According to the code of what's happening, the answer is yes.
Is that your question? About whether you're going to get disability?
No, I know I'm going to get it because I pay into it. I am going to go back to work because I'm going to be working remotely.
No, she's asking about the transition. Is she going to transition smoothly back into work once she goes? Yeah.
Nine.
The answer is yes.
Yeah. But your master number says that you can do this. It might be struggle, because of the karma in your world. What you came in with is involved with struggle. But if you're saying, can I do this? Is this possible for me to do? Absolutely, in all caps, yes. The only thing that would disturb you if you're going to really try to look for things would be your self-doubt, depression, attitude. Yeah, that could get in the way. That could destroy things. But if you keep positive and you're agreeing with us, if you get the pathway, you will make a smooth transition. That's what your journey is about, is making these transitions.
Are you still planning? I mean, you say you're glad that you stayed with this job, in this job.
Yeah, but now, because I don't know what's going on with COVID. I have enough job security. Even though the job is frustrating, I have job security in terms of tenure and best, you know. I know it's going to take a while for the world to really come back. And
right.
This is all about job security. And I mean, working remotely, if you ask me, is better than going in by a long shot.
Yeah.
It's just a lot of screen time. The screen time is very, you know, problematic at some point. Because I was filming it all along. My eyes have been giving me a problem for a while because of screen time. I mean, I deal with frustration because I work with at-risk youth and I work in a very political, dysfunctional environment. That's why my end game is to transition out of it. By the time I'm supposed to retire, I'm going to have what I need in order because I'm learning along the way.
When do you plan to retire?
I have 3 years to retire to get full retirement.
3 years to go? And I would say where you're at. I mean, even though, unless you plan to do something beyond your retirement years. If you can get through to three more years of this school, and then take retirement and do something where you're, you know, in a job
right.
that you enjoy more.
That's what I plan. That's the only reason why I'm still there. And also remember, I want to move, and I'm trying to move into the house before the end of the year, and I need my finances to still be stabilized so I can get the loan.
The house that you obtained from the estate, your parents' estate?
Yes. I'm still taking care of it.
So you're planning to move there and sell your house that you're in now?
No, I want to move there. My house is it's multifamily. I just rent my old apartment.
Oh, okay.
I'm the one that had to come to some type of agreement, a settlement with my siblings who have all scattered. They have
right,
no responsibility in the matter.
I
but
didn't
they,
know that you
know,
rented. You're saying that you rent now. I didn't know that. I thought you owned the home.
Now, I do own the home, but if I move out my apartment, I would rent my apartment.
Oh, so you own an apartment. You own an apartment that you currently live in.
Yes.
Oh, I get it. I just thought it was a home, but it's an apartment.
You can own an apartment, I guess.
Like,
you can.
Yeah,
it's a two family house.
Oh, a duplex.
Like a duplex.
Got it.
But you can own an apartment.
Yeah, you can. I get that. Well, to your transition should go smoothly. You understand your journey. You've been familiar with it all your life.
Mm-hmm.
If you apply your attitude and your perseverance to it and adapt to the changes, your transition should go relatively smooth.
I mean, she wants to retire at 58, which isn't a multiple of her master number, but
once I reach 25 years, I'm stepping out whatever door. When the door opens, I'm stepping out on my own terms. It could be 25 and a half. It could be 26. As long as I know that all the benefits I work for, I receive it. Until then, I just have to persevere. I deal with a lot of shady characters and a lot of things that's done, behind my back, and I get dumped on a lot. I don't appreciate it, but I just roll with the punches. That's my reality, because really when I look back over it, we talked last year and I was in the same position, the same feeling, the trepidation of what's going on. But then again, it was just something in my gut that was telling me just hold on, because I was really trying to keep my finances in order so that I could qualify, right? Pay the attorney, pay taxes, do what I got to do. And then COVID hit. And this is like the first time in 22 years that I've ever really used some form of benefit.
Well,
like if I had left my job then and went somewhere else, I would have been on maybe 6 months unemployment, and then right now I wouldn't have anything.
Had you changed jobs, you're saying?
Had I changed jobs? Yes. It was like 3 months later, 2 to 3 months later, COVID shut everything down where I lived. Everything.
Okay, well, do we have another caller?
We do.
Oh, so we have another caller, Jackie, so I hope that helps.
All right, I'm
going
to let you guys go. Thank you.
Thank you, Jackie. Take care.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Good luck now.
Okay, Jackie can follow us on Facebook. Gosh, we wish you would. She's called our show for a long time. She's been one of our originals, I think. And I don't know if she heard, but we've been on the air 8 years.
Yeah.
This week, 8 years. Anyway, our Facebook and Twitter accounts can be found on our Blog Talk Radio profile. Someone is calling. That's probably the same person, unless we're just really busy. The accounts, Facebook, Twitter, can be found on our Blog Talk Radio profile. Neil and Kristen Baker, Psychic Hour 414. We're going to bring on. Hi.
Hi, how are you guys?
We're doing fine, thanks. How are you?
I'm good. I was calling. I talked to you guys about maybe a month ago or 3 weeks ago.
Okay.
Felicia, and I talked to you about and about my employment, and I think it's something else.
I'm trying to find you.
Felicia?
In the
Felicia,
note.
Yeah.
Felicia.
Okay, well, just give us your birth date again and the spelling of your name.
April 25th, 69, and it's Felicia.
F-E-L-I-C-I-A?
If you spelled it that way, but it should be spelled F-I-L-I-S-A-J.
Okay, that's why I asked for the spelling. Because I thought I remembered it being spelled 6/11/21. And what specifically, I don't remember the specifics of the call last time about your employer. What was going on?
I asked about, because we were downsizing, our company had to do some cuts and stuff like that because I worked for the state. And so far, they were being able to hold on to everyone. So I had to.
Can't hear you. Felicia, you talk right into the phone.
Can you hear me? How about now?
Yeah.
Okay. I was talking. I had some concerns about my position at the working for the state where I live, and that's because we had to do some cuts or some downsizing. And so far, I haven't nothing changed. Everything's still the same. And I was just really saying, if you see any changes in the near future, I know we're going to stay out and work from home. They call it AWS. We're going to work from home till beginning of the new year so far.
And you're a patient care assistant. You're in the medical field. I see your notes. I found them. It was
not. I was in a medical
oh, you
field.
Were.
Right now I am assistant director. I work in mental health and social
disease.
I'm in housing and housing.
I remember, I'm looking at the notes and I remember you. So that's right. And we discussed your position, the fact that you've got a higher position. It's not like you're just an expendable employee. So we said you would probably keep your job. I remember that you weren't going to be cut, even though they're doing widespread cuts.
But she's not being cut.
And she's not being cut so far.
Yeah.
No, not at all. They're still looking into it. My question is basically off of that. I'm finishing my degree. Well, I will finish my degree, leadership and management.
And you want to open your own? You want to open your own center?
Yeah.
See, I remember you. It just took a little while to get the brain going here. Okay.
I know I have a lot going on. I'm looking to get a home, purchase a home, and I have so much on my plate going on. It looks like everything's going to fall in place without a hitch, like purchasing a home and finishing school on time and, you know, continuing on what I need to do in life because I have a lot to give before I leave this earth.
Are you there?
Yeah, but we're trying to figure out.
Oh.
So what's her question?
Well, she wants to know if she's going to get a home.
Oh, she wants to know everything.
We might safely predict.
Well, she's the same master number as the previous caller. She's a 9.
But, yeah.
By 36.
We might safely predict that you will be 54 when all these things are accomplished.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Because it's a master number of 9. So you've got about 3 years to go.
Which is the time of 54 will be a change for you. It's also, she's also got it in her month and day in reverse.
So 50, you know, if you're striving towards those goals, right now the code would suggest that you accomplish them by 54 years old.
Okay. That's
and the
all.
School, the degree That's program is a few years, right? A couple years?
Yeah, 18 months. 18 months.
Okay,
that
so a couple
sense.
Years. Yeah.
See, that makes sense. So, you know, if that's what you're looking for, our assessment is at by the age of 54. You have 3 years to accomplish this.
Good, as long as I'm keeping them focused and kind of keep my eyes straight ahead and do what I have to do. I know I probably accomplished purchasing a home before 54, though, because I'm in the process of getting things.
Well, we're talking about
now.
Getting everything done by the age of 54, not getting, you know, that you have to wait until 54 to get all these things done.
Yeah, this is a process throughout
the
next
year. Oh, okay. I got you.
Yeah, okay. Which is actually, so, you know, interestingly enough, I mean, her karmic number is tucked into her year, 36-9.
Yeah.
But that three-year process is the division between 6 and 9.
Yeah.
And you're on your 6 in terms of where you are in your life.
Yes, Felicia. So we're saying
on a linear scale,
that everything will progress throughout the next 3 years, at which time you will have done everything you needed to do as you're speaking about it. It's
okay.
Including everything in those 3 years.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm excited. Thank you, guys.
You're welcome.
Bye.
Bye. Okay. And Felicia can follow us. Hope she likes our show page. That is linked on our Blog Talk Radio profile. Okay, 803, we've got one more caller left.
Hey, how you doing?
Hi, fine, thanks. How are you?
Okay. Yeah, I was wondering how my finances is doing. Will they be picking up soon?
Finances. What's your name?
Name and birth date.
Chris, 12/24/76.
Have we spoken with you before?
Probably weeks ago.
I don't remember. If it was weeks
32/5. You're 32/5. 76. 86/9/67.
2008.
Just briefly, what happened in 2008 when you were 32?
I don't know. I had an accident in 2007.
No, we're talking about
what happened in 2007?
No, 2007 is a little too early because he was born in December. What happened in 2007, though?
I got in a bad car accident.
Car accident.
Oh.
Okay. Anything in 2000, actually, really, I mean, we're looking at the 9 months preceding your birth date, which would have been 2008 or 9 months after, which would be 2009. You are born at the end of the year. Anything in 2009 that you can remember?
I mean, recuperating.
I was doing poetry in 2009.
You were doing what?
Spoken word poetry.
Poetry?
Yeah.
Okay.
Spoken word poetry.
Was that something new
yeah.
for that year that you hadn't done before?
No, I really got into it.
That's when
I've
you really
got
into it. Okay. And that's, well, the thing about that is your master number is 5. And so anything, communications, writing,
vocal, yeah.
it's a vocal energy. So you're not only were involved in poetry, but it was spoken word poetry. So that fits into your master number.
Your finances, you see, what the struggle in your finances is you don't have a strong 8 going on. But what you've got, as I can determine, you're born on the 24th. 2 times 4 is 8. So there is something karmically that you can bring into your world that will supplement and establish and embellish your financial situation. And the fact that you are 76/86/96/2006/16, you're 44 years old.
I'll be 44 in December.
Yeah,
43 that's
now.
A good sign, Chris.
That's an 8.
So if you're trying to, if you have an idea of how to build finances or where finances are going to come from, yes, you can have it in your 44th year. There's a possibility we can get some money in for you in that term. Are you looking for assistance or money through employment?
Well, I have an inheritance coming.
Oh.
I'm not sure how big it is. I thought it was something, and then I heard it was something bigger when I talked to my lawyer.
Is it above or below 50,000?
50. I knew you were going to say 50,000,
yeah.
Or maybe I knew.
I'm not sure. I think above what I'm finding out.
I think that might be a good premise.
Okay, but what are you working right now?
I'm disabled.
Oh, you're disabled. Okay, permanently disabled?
Well, yeah, my legs messed up real bad.
From your car accident?
You're in a wheelchair?
Yeah. No, okay. I have a special shoe with a lift on it.
Oh, okay.
So was this from your car accident?
Yeah.
And do you have, I mean, are you on disability? Do you get assistance from that? Cause
I get it. I get SSI.
You do have SSI.
Oh,
so.
You know, does this inheritance come from family?
What?
Your inheritance.
Is it a family member that would be?
My biological father died, and he's like a mystery man, and he did some kind of thing where he got a lot of money, and they tried to hide the will. So
oh.
I had to hire a lawyer.
I see.
She's telling me there is a will. And how much, like something like $937,000, and I'm supposed to get a percentage of that, and my biological sister is supposed to get a percentage of that. They tried to hide the will.
Right now, as we speak, it appears as though psychically, it appears as though you're going to be getting at least $50,000, if not more. Now, that's the psychic impression, so it's at least supporting the premise that this will be established and executed, and you will be obtaining a certain percentage from it. That seems to be the ball right now, flying towards home plate. So it's not a direct
okay.
no. It's not a direct no. It's not a direct yes. But the ball's in process to pass over the plate.
So, what should I do? I mean,
keep connected to your attorney and make sure that steps are being followed.
The problem is what I'm hearing is it's will, and it's trickier with will because that can go probate if it's not a trust. You know.
Yeah, probate opened on the 3rd.
Okay, so it is going into probate. You have a date.
He passed, you know, April 3rd, and it takes
April
90
3rd.
Days.
And that's interesting, April 3rd. Wait, April 3rd? April 3rd.
That's when he passed.
What? It's going into probate on April 3rd? That's like 6 months from now, right?
No, it went in.
It passed
on April 3rd.
I see.
I think probate opened 90 days after April 3rd.
I see. And then you're 43 years old, which is 4-3 April.
Right.
But, real quickly, probate can be costly. So, obviously, this is going to drain some of your inheritance because you're having to pay this attorney for the
probate.
Right,
I have a pro bono Christian attorney.
Okay, well, that's good. So then it sounds like you will, I mean, what percentage is she going to take if the case is settled and you get an inheritance?
I have to pay her like $1,000.
That's it?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's Christian.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Okay.
Good. Well, you know, keep in touch with us. You can update us on the status of the progress, but things look good for a positive resolution for you.
So things look good, is what you're saying?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Promising.
Okay. Well, thanks a lot.
Okay
thanks. Chris.
All right. We're back on the air on Wednesday next week. At 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 p.m. Eastern. Hopefully it will be cooler by that time. I don't think it's going to be, unfortunately. But we hope everybody has a nice, safe weekend. Bye-bye.